Did you know that Asbury University offers scholarships in 17 intercollegiate sports? Asbury is also one of only two private colleges in the state of Kentucky with a nationally accredited music program. And Asbury also has more than 150 student organizations to choose from. If you're interested in participating in college instead of being lost in the crowd, email Asbury at admissions@asbury.edu.
Hi, I'm Chris Lee with the Kessinger Lee Financial Group. When you're looking to build a financial legacy after years of hard work, you need a financial partner that will do more than just buy and sell stocks and bonds. At the Kessinger Lee Financial Group of Hilliard Lyons, we build comprehensive wealth management plans for our clients. Whether you need to save for your child's education or build and preserve wealth for retirement, we help our clients with all aspects of their financial lives. Visit us today online at KessingerLeeGroup.com or call us at 859-219-4260 to talk with our team of experienced consultants. Let us help you move forward with financial confidence at the Kessinger Lee Group.
Securities offered by J.J.B. Hilliard, W.L. Lyons, LLC, member NYSE, FINRA, and SIPC.
The following program is sponsored by Horn Marketing and Consulting.
It's time now for Sports Talk, and here's your Sports Talk host, Greg Horn, here on AM 1250 WLRT.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk. Greg Horn, Action Jackson Marines with you on a great Sweet 16 NCAA Tournament March Madness Friday night as our Kentucky Wildcats, and no, I'm not supposed to say our, but I'm doing it at this point because it is Sweet 16 time. UK, UCLA, two of the ultimate blue blood teams tipping it off supposedly at 9:30 p.m. Tonight, Jackson Marines, but I'll believe that when I see it.
Well, you're just going to have to see how long that game before goes with North Carolina and Butler playing each other. Luckily, the good news is that it's the first of the late games, so it won't be like Xavier in Arizona last night where that game didn't end until probably 1 p.m. or later Eastern. So hopefully it'll still be on in plenty of time for you to stay up and watch as much of it as you possibly can. But I've got to be careful because I fell asleep during Xavier Arizona last night.
Yeah, I can't even believe that. You sent me a text telling me that today, and I thought I almost ran off the road, which I shouldn't have been reading text while I was driving. But that was a late, late game. I got up in the middle of the night like I usually do, happened to turn on the ESPN, saw the highlights of that game. And I can't blame you, though, because when you turned off the TV, Arizona seemed like they had it.
Well, I fell asleep midway through the second half, woke up, heard with about 4 minutes left that Arizona was up 6 points. They had just hit a couple of threes in a row. And I decided I wasn't going to try to fight myself on sleep. So I turned off the TV. And apparently it technically got even worse because Arizona took a 7-point lead, 71-64, with just 2 minutes and 52 seconds left and then never scored again. Xavier went on a 9-0 run to finish the game, ended up getting the win 73-71, and even though they're a team that everyone is familiar with and they win NCAA tournament games, they continue what is this year's equivalent of a Cinderella story, being an 11 seed, making it all the way to the Elite Eight. And a team that lost six games in the month of February in a row, the only team they could beat in February was DePaul, is now in the Elite Eight. Just amazing what they've been able to do.
Well, the thing that makes it even more amazing out of that region now, either Mark Few or Chris Mack will be going to the Final Four. Both have never been. Who are you for, man?
I don't really guess that I would be – I don't have rooting interest, but I would like for Xavier to do it. I mean, for Chris Mack to get his first Final Four, that's a technically regional team being in Cincinnati. I would love for them to do it, and I think it's funny that Gonzaga still can't make one. So if they couldn't make another Final Four, I would have a good time laughing at them for that. Mark Few now has the most wins in NCAA tournament history without a Final Four after they won last night with 24 before he's ever gotten to his first Final Four.
Well, I guess I'm the opposite way. if it's somebody else, you know, that had not been, then I would definitely be for Chris Mack and everything you said about being a regional team in Xavier. But Mark Few, man, to get, even though it was funny in the post-game press conference, to get the monkey off his back, and he said, I didn't know there was a monkey on my back, or cat, or dog, or any animals, and, you know, making light of the subject, but let's don't sleep on that, man. He's been so close, but not been able to bang the door, knock that door down to get to the Final Four. If he could do that, man, that guy would sleep a lot better at night.
Man, I don't think you can write off their win last night. I think that was a really big win over West Virginia, a team that no one wants to face when it comes to tournament time, just because of the way that they press you the entire game. They force turnovers. They make you play foolishly a lot of the time. But Gonzaga was able to get the win 61-58. They had a transition three-pointer by a bench player with 50 seconds left. He may not be a bench player regularly, but he had spent a lot of time on the bench last night due to foul trouble. Jordan Matthews hit the three. West Virginia had some terrible had a terrible time at the end trying to tie it. Javon Carter missed two threes. West Virginia got offensive rebounds off of both of them, and then for like the last 15 seconds, he kind of dribbled around, couldn't get a shot off, and Gonzaga ends up winning that game. But I don't think you can fault the guy too much. He was West Virginia's only double-digit scorer last night, Greg, with 21 points. He finished 4 of 9 from three-point range, but going into that last possession, he was 4 of 7, and the rest of his team finished a combined 1 of 14 from behind the three-point arc. So although it was awful, I mean, Javon Carter had to be the guy that Bobby Huggins wanted to have that shot to possibly send it to overtime.
I would agree with you, but that last offensive set there, I know you've seen better basketball on Saturday mornings at Calvary Baptist.
I have, by children. Yes, they execute a lot better than that. He just was 100% sure he was going to be the one who made the shot, and he couldn't buy it to save his life last night.
Well, it was a great game. The other thing, I don't know, because you may have been watching Kansas-Purdue at the time, but did you see how long it took for them to make that decision about – was it Lamb? What's that guy's name for Lane? Adrian something about the ball. You know, he saved the ball from going out of bounds, but they called it out of bounds. Why did it take like 10 minutes for them, the officials, to be able to take that call?
Yeah, it was late in the second half. You're right, that guy's name is Nathan Adrian. He was a big man for West Virginia. It was on a break. The ball was going out of bounds. He saved it, but the referee called him out. So they went over to the monitor and looked at it.
It's under 2 minutes, 1:59.
Right. Determined that he wasn't out of bounds, and ended up being that it took a solid like 7 minutes of real time for them to decide that he was not out of bounds. They were going to call in an inadvertent whistle and give it back to West Virginia. And then when West Virginia finally got the ball, they hit a three-pointer to take a lead. I mean, it was a big deal. Just awful that it took that long. I mean, just, I don't think there's a great excuse for it. They made a bad call originally. Look at that clock, or look at the replay, say you made a bad call and move on from it, but it took way too long. Chris Webber was losing his mind screaming about it, talking about momentum and how they were just screwing with the game. But yeah, it was really, really bad that it took that long, especially in a clutch game. I mean, Sweet 16, last 2 minutes, and you had to wait like 10 minutes for them to make a decision where they just decided they made a bad call originally.
Yeah, I mean, it just was pretty clear from the, you know, what we could see. Maybe whatever video replay they were getting, but I'm pretty sure it was the same. I just couldn't understand why it took so long. It really wasn't that debatable. But anyway, and then the thing you just said about Chris Webber, he was moving up close to Bill Walton, and like, I can't stand to listen to this.
Yeah, that guy, he was quite annoying last night, if we're being honest. And especially during that, he just would not stop yelling while they were trying to get this replay going on. Surprisingly, though, he did stop when the referee came over to give them an explanation. I was shocked by that.
Yeah, I thought he'd probably try to give him some wisdom. But hey, we want to thank our sponsor of the day, Asbury University. Did you know that Asbury offers scholarships in 17 intercollegiate sports? To find out more about all the athletic programs they offer at Asbury University, check them out online at AsburyEagles.com. Hey, in our next segment, we're going to be talking with SEC basketball analyst and former Kentucky great Tony Delk. So make sure you stay tuned with us for that. But tonight it is, Jackson. Don't know what time that game will start, but I think this is going to be a great game, and I look forward to it.
It's a nerve-wracking game to think about, Greg. If Kentucky thinks their defense has gotten better, tonight's the night to show it, because you're playing, I'd say arguably, if not maybe statistically, the best offense in the nation. I mean, they score 90 points per game, shoot over 50% from the field. They hit 40% of their three-pointers and have three-point shooters everywhere. This is a game that Kentucky, yes, does get a revenge factor because they lost on their home floor to UCLA, but I don't think UCLA is just the same old team that they were back in December either. I mean, this is a game that I could definitely see going either way, and that is what makes it so nerve-wracking to me as a Kentucky fan.
Well, you bring up a great point. Kentucky's definitely better. They're definitely playing defensive better. But as we were talking about the show, you reminded me UCLA's got six guys averaging in double figures.
They have six dudes that average in double figures. Those six guys combined for 91 of UCLA's 97 in Rupp Arena. You have freshman TJ Leaf, senior guard Bryce Alford, freshman guard Lonzo Ball, senior guard Isaac Hamilton, sophomore guard Aaron Holiday, and junior center Thomas Welsh. All big-time players for them. TJ Leaf really killed Kentucky the first time around. I think he had a double-double with like 17 points. Thomas Welsh is a guy who just nails jumpers every time you hand them to him. He had 21 last year against Kentucky, had like 15, I believe, this year. And then Lonzo Ball is a guy who hits clutch shots. You know, he may not go out there and lead them in scoring, but he does everything else. And that matchup between he and De'Aaron Fox, they're both going to acknowledge that their matchup is not going to decide the game, like they're not going to make it one-on-one, but I think it does. I mean, whoever wins that matchup could help win the game, although De'Aaron Fox really outplayed Lonzo Ball in the first game, and UCLA still got the win.
Yeah, they did. Lonzo Ball, big-time assist guy, averaging almost 8 assists a game. I think that he's leading everybody in the NCAA tournament that played with assists. He's solid, so looking forward to it. It's going to be a great game. We're going to find out from a guy that knows what it's about playing in the NCAA tournament. In fact, he was the Final Four MVP in 1996. We'll be talking with former UK great and national champ Tony Delk next on Sports Talk.
Flowers are the perfect present for any special occasion. Birthdays, anniversaries, celebrations of life. Creations by Karen wants to help you find the most beautiful bouquets and flower arrangements. Pick up your own at Creations by Karen's convenient location in Zandale Shopping Center off of Nicholasville Road. You could also call 859-277-6166 or check them out online at creationsbykaren.net. Make sure next time you let Creations by Karen help you pick out the perfect present to make a lasting memory.
CMI is your full-service human resources provider in Central Kentucky. For 15 years, CMI Human Resources has taken great pride in helping organizations and people work. Whether it's employee handbooks or help in filling a position, no job is too large or too small for CMI. Contact the professionals today at CMI Human Resources, 859-296-2800, or online at cmiconsulting.com.
Nice shot, Jim.
Hey, thanks. You know, it's great to be out here and not at the shop.
Yeah, must be all that action coach business coaching.
Well, laugh if you want, but our revenues are up, and I'm working smarter on each of the six steps to a better business instead of harder, like some people I know.
I don't know what action coach can tell me about my business. We had a record year last year.
Hey, look, every great athlete has a coach, even the world's best golfer, who had a record year last year, too.
Good point.
Now, listen, I've learned more about business in the last 3 months from my action coach than I ever have. I've also learned something else.
Yeah, what's that?
The best tee times are during the middle of the week.
Your local action coach in Central Kentucky is Andrew Van Horn. Contact Andrew at 859-940-5517. That's Andrew Van Horn at 859-940-5517. You deserve to have your own coach, too. Call action coach Andrew Van Horn today. Do you dread going to the dentist? I did until I found Beaumont Family Dentistry. With three convenient locations in Hamburg, Leestown Road, and the Beaumont area, they can take care of all your dental needs at Beaumont Family Dentistry. This month, if you schedule your new patient cleaning appointment, you will receive a free take-home whitening kit at your initial visit. So call Beaumont Family Dentistry today at 223-2120 or check them out online at BeaumontFamilyDentistry.com.
Congratulations to McGee's Bakery celebrating their 60th anniversary. Family owned since 1956, everyone knows that McGee's Bakery is a great place to start your day. However, did you know that McGee's also serves lunch? You can enjoy great sandwiches and homemade soups. Also, for the heartier appetite, enjoy one of McGee's delicious burgers. Schedule your next lunch meeting at McGee's, located on the corner of South Ashland and Main Street. Make sure to tell them you heard about them on 1250 Sports Talk.
And now back to Sports Talk with Greg Horn on AM 1250 WLRT.
Welcome back to Sports Talk. Greg Horn, Action Jackson Reams here with you on a Friday. I want to thank Asbury University for being our sponsor today. Did you know that Asbury offers scholarships in 17 intercollegiate sports? To find out more about their athletic programs, check them out online at AsburyEagles.com. Well, joining us on the phone line now is SEC Network basketball analyst, 1996 NCAA champion and Final Four MVP, Tony Delk. And Tony, we are talking about the NCAA tournament, Sweet 16 time. Man, we had some great games last night. Looking even more forward to tonight, obviously, because our Kentucky Wildcats are playing. But let's talk a little bit about last night's games first. Were you surprised at the outcome of some of those games?
Yes, I was. I really was surprised with that that Xavier-Arizona game. I really thought with, you know, the talent and the height, the length, the tough schedule that Arizona played, that, you know, I knew Xavier was a good team, but I didn't know they were, you know, that good enough to upset an Arizona team that probably were playing their best ball, and especially, you know, winning the Pac-12, beating Oregon and beating UCLA, two teams that still remaining. So we have to give a lot of credit to Coach Mack for the tremendous job he's done, you know, getting this guy prepared each and every game. But, you know, a team that's tougher than a lot of people give them credit for, and they play in a probably underrated conference, the A-10.
Well, you know, you see that with what happened there. Obviously, Gonzaga trying to get to the Final Four for the first time with Mark Few. That'll be happening also for Xavier with Chris Mack. So you'll have somebody tomorrow will be going to the Final Four for the first time. But tonight you've got some of the, you know, I like to call it the traditional powers, the Blue Bloods, Kentucky and UCLA. Obviously, they play back in December. UCLA getting a rare win in Rupp Arena, and hardly anybody does that. But both teams are a lot better since then. But talk to us, what do you expect tonight?
Well, you know, I expect for two teams that love to get up and down the court, you know, for it to be a transition game, and, you know, both teams have to get back and definitely stop the ball. But, you know, we're going to see two elite-level point guards that are going to push the ball and put a lot of pressure on the defense, get into the teeth of the defense and make some plays for themselves as well as for their teammates. And, you know, as you look at this game, and I know they beat Kentucky 97-92 last year, and those six UCLA Bruins got into double figures. So, you know, they have to do a better job of containing Lonzo Ball, who had a good game, not a great game, but he was good enough where he made the players around him better. And he's also, you know, when you look at his situation with Welsh and, you know, and also Hamilton, Alford, you know, those are, you have, you know, junior, two seniors, you know, Holiday is really good coming off the bench. You know, he has great shooters at the four and five, which has allowed him to be able to get in deep, and if you help, you know, those guys can make that 14 to 16 foot shot. You know, and they make uncontested shots, but they have really good shooters all around him. So whenever you have a great point guard, you can put four shooters around them. It gives them a lot of driving lane. So hopefully, Kentucky can do a better job of keeping them in front, not following him, and you know, and you have to game plan differently. You have to be able to make adjustments on the fly, and you know, in timeouts. So I expect for Coach Cal to maybe throw a little zone at them, you know, just kind of switch up the defense.
Well, last time, you know, it was a high-scoring game. Of course, both teams are high-scoring. Kentucky's defense definitely has improved. In fact, their defense, they made two big defensive plays at the end of the game on Sunday against Wichita State, and one of them being by a young man that, you know,
obviously was struggling a bit defensively, Malik Monk, but made a big play. Then Bam Adebayo blocks the second shot to give him a win. So two freshmen making big-time defensive plays. And is it a fair statement to say that defense is usually the last thing to come for freshmen in college playing at a high level like Kentucky?
Absolutely. No freshman coming in as one of the top players in McDonald's All-America. Those guys are not I would say interested in playing defense. They just have to learn how to play it on the elite level. And then you have players like Fox and Ball. Those guys, you know, they came in from day one knowing how to play defense. So you have to look at who their high school coaches were and how much emphasis they put on playing defense in high school. And then it's easy to transfer it once you do it in high school and you can transfer it over to college. So those are two guys that I know at the point guard position, Ball and Fox. Those guys play defense, and they play defense all year. And also, two guys that don't take possessions off. Sometimes freshmen take possessions off, and when you get older, you know how important, especially this deep into the season, every possession matters. You know, you don't have that luxury of taking a possession off, especially, you know, early in the game. And when it's late and tight in the game, you can't do it either. So, you know, it's a learning curve for younger players. It takes time, and, you know, that's where I think Malik has gotten better. But Malik has to play, you know, the Malik that we know that, you know, can definitely that he can take over a game. But also teams are playing him differently. Teams have made the proper adjustment guarding him, and that's all coaching and scouting when we see how, wow, why is Malik not playing the way he played early? Well, teams are guarding him differently. So that's something that we have to factor in, too, that nobody's going to let Malik get his 25, 30 points in a half or in a quarter, And, you know, so teams have made adjustments to him, and it's time for him as a player. You know, he has to make a proper adjustment, drive, maybe kick, but he has to get his stuff going. You know, Coach Cal's going to run a lot of plays for him, but also, you know, he has to draw and kick if two guys come towards him. But he needs to be aggressive on the offensive end. But, you know, if you can get great defense and he's able to guard his position, then it eliminates one of the shooters from the outside, but also one of their scores.
Just tuned in, we're talking with Tony Delk, SEC basketball analyst, former Kentucky great, 1996 NCAA champion, and Final Four MVP.
Tony, this is Jackson coming into this game. Both of these teams have talked about how their defense has gotten better, and statistics actually back that up. Kentucky only allowing 65 points per game in their last 12 games, UCLA down to 72. So with that in mind, do you expect another track meet like we had in Rupp Arena in December, or are you expecting a bit of a slower game between these two teams?
I expect the opportunities when they're there to run, both teams will run. But when you get this late in the season, you have to be able to guard in half court because transition opportunities and basket will be taken away. So you have to be able to run some half court sets. And I think Kentucky, as you said, on this 13-game win streak, they had to grind some games out. And they were able to play in the half court, you know, just like UCLA had to play in the half court as well and see if your half court execution is something that, you know, that will work, especially late in the game against a good opponent. And you have to be able to run an efficient often half court that you can get shots, you can get deep penetration, you can get to the foul line. So both teams, you're right, they have improved defensively. And I know both teams will get out in transition when it presents itself, but also they're able to bring the ball back out, run some time off the shot clock, and get the best shot possible.
Tony, you've obviously seen a tremendous amount of SEC basketball working with SEC Network this year. SEC got five teams in this year. I have three still playing here, Sweet 16, and even though Arkansas and Vandy didn't win, they both put out outstanding performances. Share your thoughts about the SEC's performance here in the NCAA tournament this year.
Well, you know, I think the conference that's known for football and so much focus has been on football, you know, throughout the years. And, you know, other than Kentucky and Arkansas, who won the championship back in 94 and Florida winning back-to-back 2006, 2007, that most of the attention has been on football. So it's great to see South Carolina get there as well as Florida, two teams that I don't think anyone would have picked to get as far as they have right now. And two teams that are very capable of advancing because you take, you know, they are two of our best defensive teams in the conference. And, you know, as much as we talk about, you know, teams being able to get stopped, these teams have been able to get stopped against really good teams. And you take a Virginia team that Florida really held down to 39 points. I mean, that's unheard of. You know, so they play defense. They have quick guards, Chioza Hill, and Allen has been playing the way he's played. It's kind of like Allen and and Monk are playing about the same right now. Both guys are still trying to find their game, making adjustments, but they have enough guys around him, Florida that is, that can score. And Devin Robinson playing high-level basketball. And then Darius Thornwell, you know, he was the SEC player for a reason, and he's a senior. Tough kid, he can post, he can make mid-range shots, three-pointers outside. He's a really good decision-maker, and the guys around him, when Notice can make shots, P.J. Dozier can make shots, and Chris Phillips is out of foul trouble, they're capable of playing with anyone. So these teams are coming in with a lot of confidence, and that's where you want to be this time of the year.
Tony, obviously, I guess the SEC has helped its reputation this year with the NCAA tournament successes that they've had so far. And then some of the teams that aren't in the NCAA tournament are still making some noise. You know, Alabama has a top 10 class coming in. And then LSU and Missouri have shored up their programs with some good hires. LSU's would be most recent, and I guess we hadn't talked to you since it happened. But just wondering what you thought of LSU's hire of VCU's coach to take over. Over as their new head coach?
Well, he has a style that's going to be fun and exciting for the LSU program. And, you know, but with that style, you have to be able to get players. No matter how kind of, you know, doesn't matter how great a coach you are, what kind of style you run, you have to have the players that fit into your system. So that's something that it's going to take a few years to get those guys, get that program back to the level it was years ago. But it's very possible because Louisiana has a lot of really good players, and if you can start getting the best players in your state, you know, it gives you a chance to compete with some of the other teams in the conference. And then bringing Conzo back, you know, he's very familiar with the conference, and, you know, if you get the number one recruit Porter, you know, it's a great piece to start with, and we know he's not going to be there long. It's going to kind of be like the Ben Simmons situation there in Missouri. But that conference, you know, I think the conference is getting better. When you hire better coaches and coaches who have ties to the South, that's able to recruit the right guys, and you have to build a program. It takes 3 or 4 years, but, you know, your experience is something that these guys are going to rely heavily on. The first couple of years are going to be rebuilding, but by the time those guys become juniors and seniors, they're in your system, and you can kind of groom up younger guys as they come in. I expect for this, you know, this conference at some point in time, maybe get as many teams as the APC, maybe get 6 or 7 at some point in time. So hiring the right coaches, hopefully those coaches go out and get the right players to fit into their system.
Well, Tony, we just right before we brought you on the air, it was a statement was issued that Michael Porter is going to transfer to Missouri. So Quanzo Martin already got a big catch there.
Yeah, that's going to be huge. I mean, he's a long athletic player, very, very skilled. And, you know, and they have some good players that if no one transfers, like Ferrier, he's pretty good. You know, then they have Frankie Hughes. He's a guy that can knock down shots from outside. And, you know, a team that always competed. I mean, there was no question with under Kim Anderson how hard Missouri played. So if they keep up that level of intensity and keep playing the way they do, and you add two or three really good players to a program that two or three really good skilled players that can knock down shots and make it easy for them offensively. You know, this team, they could be maybe, you know, 8th or 9th or, you know, and maybe move up. But I think the teams that are at the top with Kentucky will be back, you know, they'll probably lose a lot, but a lot is coming in. Vanderbilt will be losing some players, but they still have some of their core there. Arkansas will always be able to compete. So hopefully with those two hires, you know, this conference is going to get even better.
All right. Well, Tony, I know obviously where your heart is tonight, Kentucky, UCLA. So
always.
So, but looking at it as a basketball analyst and a guy that played at the highest level, NBA for many years, you're an NCAA champion, played in 4 NCAA tournaments. What do you think is going to happen as far as, I mean, Kentucky win tonight? Or, I mean, UCLA's not so good.
I think Kentucky get the win, the victory. It's going to be a tough game. And, you know, I'm not worried like I have been maybe with other games, but I think they're going to be up for the challenge, you know, especially when the team beat you early in the season. They came, you know, and beat you on your home court. You know, you have to, you know, it's in the back of your mind. It put a bad taste in their mouth. They gave them their first loss. And, you know, and since that point, you know, Kentucky went through adversity throughout the season. And, you know, and I look at UCLA, they've lost games, but, you know, have they gotten better? You know, I think they've been good. They've been good all year. Kentucky defensively have gotten better, and offensively, you know, some other guys have stepped up. I like the way Hawkins is playing, and if Willis is knocking down shots, you know, it gives them another scoring threat. So, you know, you want to have, to beat the UCLA team, you have to have three or four guys that's scoring. So if Fox is doing what he needs to do, if Malik is scoring, you have Willis knocking down shots from outside, and they have to go to Bam early, establish him, then you have your four guys. And that's something that, you know, you can ride with. If those four guys are playing well with good defense, they win.
All right, man. We love what you're saying. Hope that will come true tonight. Well, we know we're getting about 3 weeks away. You're sponsoring an AAU tournament for 2nd to 8th graders, April 14th through April 16th, and know that you tried to make it a little more affordable, lower the rate a little bit a couple weeks ago. So is there still room for teams to get in?
Yeah, it's still room. And we've actually opened it up for I have some people that want to open up for maybe high school and girls. So we've opened up a different division as well as just bringing the girls on. So we're just trying to see where we can take this thing. And I'm looking forward to it. I know it's, you know, the weeks are winding down, but the excitement of having an AAU event and one that could definitely draw good teams and an event that, like I said, a lot of people have helped me out with. And I think it's a great opportunity for, you know, teams that want to showcase their skills from second grade all the way up to high school. You know, we welcome you to come and play in our event. You know, it's going to be an exciting 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And a lot of people have definitely given sponsorship money, but sponsorship money is still being taken. But just the teams, you know, we just really want to focus on just getting the good teams, the quality teams, and you know, bringing the parents out, having them support their kids in this event.
All right, and the best way for people to find out information about your tournament, it's pretty easy. I know how, but tell our people where.
Yeah, www.tonydelf.com. Simple, easy, my name. And let's make it happen. You need just the much love and much support as we have for the cats, you know, to come out and support my event and just the kids that are going to be playing basketball. And some of these, one or two of these kids could be future Wildcats. Who knows?
Absolutely, man. You never know. Tony, great talking hoops with you. Thank you so much again for doing that tournament, helping young people out here. April 14th through April 16th. Go to TonyDelt.com to get more information on how you can get a team registered. Tony, thanks so much, buddy.
Thank you. Appreciate you guys.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Tony Delk, Final Four MVP, 1996. Longtime NBA guy. Great to talk basketball to him. He knows what it takes. He says the Cats are going to do it. Stay with us. We got to take a short break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Sports Talk with Action Jackson Marines. And yours truly, Greg Horn, on AM 1250 WLRT.
BurgerFi, natural and proud of it. Our beef, it's beef. No hormones, no antibiotics, just 100% certified Angus. You know, the way nature intended. We really get cooking with other chef-driven favorites, made from scratch daily, like our crispy fries and double-battered onion rings, hand-cut and served with house-made sauces, fresh farm veggies and gourmet toppings, all with local craft beer and wine. But we don't stop at honest food. We're proud to commit to eco-friendly practices that improve every neighborhood we call home.
BurgerFi, 141 Rojay Drive, right next to Moe's and the Fayette Mall movie theaters.
Hi, I'm Greg Horn with Sports Talk. Are you a basketball junkie like I am and looking for a great place to watch college basketball? Look no further. Shamrock's Bar and Grill is the place to be to enjoy great food, and they've got lots of TVs to help you watch your favorite college basketball and NBA team. Locally owned, Shamrock's Bar and Grill has two locations, on Patchen Drive and in the Heartland Shopping Center. Hope to see you soon at Shamrock's Bar and Grill.
Hi, I'm Chris Lee with the Kessinger Lee Financial Group. When you're looking to build a financial legacy after years of hard work, you need a financial partner that will do more than just buy and sell stocks and bonds. At the Kessinger Lee Financial Group of Hilliard Lyons, we build comprehensive wealth management plans for our clients. Whether you need to save for your child's education or build and preserve wealth for retirement, we help our clients with all aspects of their financial lives. Visit us today online at KessingerLeeGroup.com or call us at 859-219-4260 to talk with our team of experienced consultants. Let us help you move forward with financial confidence at the Kessinger Lee Group.
Securities offered by J.J.B. Hilliard, W.L. Lyons, LLC member NYSE, FINRA, and SIPC.
And now back to Sports Talk with Greg Horn on AM 1250 WLRT.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Sports Talk. Greg Horn, Action Jackson Reams with you. If you missed any of our shows, especially one we just got done talking with, former NBA player, 1996 NCAA champion for the University of Kentucky Wildcats, and the Final Four MVP, Tony Delk, about tonight's big game. Make sure you go to our website, 1250sportstalk.com. You'll be able to catch our podcast. Jackson Reams has that up about 6:15, 6:20 each night. And also shows from earlier in the week, or the easiest way is to follow us on Facebook and Twitter. You can find us on Twitter or Facebook simply at 1250 Sports Talk. Well, Action Jackson Reams, we sit here and look at the games at Kentucky. You know, tonight, obviously, that's a big game we all want to know, but there's some other really good games on tonight.
There definitely are some other good games, but before we get to those, Greg, why don't we wrap up just those other two Sweet 16 games we didn't get to in our first segment. Kansas just obliterated Purdue last night, 98-66. Kansas was actually down 8 points in the first half. They finished the game on a 73-33 run. Their 32-point win was the fourth largest ever in the Sweet 16. Kentucky holds two of the other three top four margins of victory in the Sweet 16, but none of those teams have ever gotten past the Final Four. So keep that in mind when you're thinking about saying now that Kansas is your favorite to win the national championship, whoever you may be out there.
That's exactly right. Another tough loss for the Big Ten is Oregon and Michigan played, and man, that was a nail biter.
Yeah, it was a back and forth game all game long. But surprisingly, the game winning basket actually happened with a minute 6 seconds left. Tyler Dorsey hit a layup in the lane for Oregon, and then Oregon missed a couple of free throws. Michigan missed some shots down the line, and no one ever scored again. Now Oregon did have some fouls to give and did not give it before Michigan's Derek Walton Jr. got off a shot at the buzzer. He got a good look, too, but it wouldn't stay down, and the streak from almost getting in a plane crash and having all that momentum finally runs out, and I'll pat myself on the back just a little bit because I do remember saying yesterday on the show it had to end sometime, and I liked it ending against Oregon, who just looks like a really hard team to beat. I mean, they just find ways to win games.
Yeah, they really do. Michigan, they've got to be thrilled to get as far as they did. Obviously, still a disappointing loss. And Derek Walton, that was a good look, man. That could have went down easily.
He crossed the guy over pretty well and then had the shot at the buzzer, couldn't get it. So that now sets up on Saturday. Your two Elite Eight matchups for Saturday will be 1-seed Kansas versus 3-seed Oregon and 1-seed Gonzaga versus 11-seed Xavier. That Kansas-Oregon game, also you should keep in mind that Kansas's strength is in their guards, so is Oregon's. So it should be a matchup of battling guards in that game. And I think I like Oregon to give Kansas quite the scare in the Elite Eight.
Absolutely. It's going to be exciting to see. Well, tonight, obviously, Kentucky plays late. Not the latest game, but there's a couple, I think, good games before that. And, of course, one of them involves an SEC team.
Well, I'd say one game that I'm really interested in, because Kentucky, if they won, would have to face the winner. And that's, of course, the 7:09 tip on CBS between North Carolina and Butler. North Carolina, a 7-point favorite in that game, which to me sounds a little heavy in Carolina's favor. But you also have to remember that Butler doesn't have a whole lot of height, and North Carolina has a ton of height, and they're the best offensive rebounding team in the country. So a lot of people expecting them to cruise by. The Bulldogs have shown that they're hard to beat in March as well, though. So I don't think I like it to be that big of a margin, but that should be an interesting one. And then about halfway through the first half, South Carolina and Baylor will tip off at 7:30 on TBS. Baylor a 3-point favorite, and this is South Carolina Carolina's first Sweet 16. So the biggest question is, how do they compose themselves? Can they get a big-time victory and move on to the Elite Eight? That would be, I would be floored if that South Carolina team made it to an Elite Eight. They just played so badly the end of the year. Even beating Duke, I could see, okay, they were in their home state. But if they beat Baylor, too, and move on to the Elite Eight, I will be absolutely shocked.
Well, one of the bigger questions to me is, which one of their ugly uniforms will Baylor wear tonight?
That's a great question. I'm sure they'll go with the human highlighters because they seem to really like those.
No doubt about it. Well, we'll see what happens there. Wisconsin and Florida. Man, I love Florida. Wisconsin, of course, shocked the world by beating Villanova.
And they're another tough out in March that they've shown. I think it's just a game that's going to be a toss-up. I really could see it going either way for the SEC. You hope Florida gets there, but I'm not going to cheer for Florida. Actually, I take that back. I am going to cheer for Florida because I still loathe Wisconsin for taking out Kentucky's undefeated squad.
Still haven't gotten over that just because it was on your birthday.
It was on my birthday. I'm never going to forget.
Holy cow. All right. Well, that's going to be a wrap. Stay with us. We got a really great story coming up. We're going to talk with a special player from Asbury University's baseball team. He's got a great story. So stick with it. We'll be right back with our last segment after this short break on Sports Talk.
Each show, we like to take a minute to thank one of our long-term sponsors, Asbury University. Did you know that with graduation rates 2 to 5 times higher than public universities in Kentucky and retention rates better than any school in the regional college rankings, that Asbury was named the number one college in the South in 2015 by U.S. News and World Report and has been in the top 5 every year since 2012? If a nationally ranked private education at an affordable price interests you or your student at home, email Asbury at admissions@asbury.edu.
CMI is your full-service human resources provider in Central Kentucky. For 15 years, CMI Human Resources has taken great pride in helping organizations and people work. Whether it's employee handbooks or help in filling a position, no job is too large or too small for CMI. Contact the professionals today at CMI Human Resources, 859-296-2800, or online at cmiconsulting.com.
Flowers are the perfect present for any special occasion. Birthdays, anniversaries, celebrations of life. Creations by Karen wants to help you find the most beautiful bouquets and flower arrangements. Pick up your own at Creations by Karen's convenient location in Zandale Shopping Center off of Nicholasville Road. You could also call 859-277-6166 or check them out online at creationsbykaren.net. Make sure next time you let Creations by Karen help you pick out the perfect present to make a lasting memory.
Now back to Sports Talk with Greg Horn on AM 1250 WLRT.
Welcome back into Sports Talk. Action Jackson Reams here doing our fourth segment of the day. I want to thank Asbury University for being our sponsor of the day. A great Christian education offered to you in nearby Wilmore, Kentucky. They've got a beautiful campus, plenty of majors to offer from. And on that note, we are currently joined on the phone right now by a fifth-year senior at Asbury University, Landon Skaggs. He's a Lexington native and is on the baseball team. So, Landon, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty great. You know, it's nice and warm out here today.
Yeah, so you're actually out at the baseball field right now. The baseball team in action have a 2 o'clock start, so very shortly here, against Point Park University, and then they'll have another game after that. But it's a special day today, and I know that it is very special for you. The team doing a kidney awareness benefit, I guess, for today's games, and it has a lot to do with you. So why don't you explain kind of your situation and how that all comes back to be around you?
About 2 years ago, started to get sick in the fall and didn't really know what was going on. And basically, was just getting really fatigued and everything like that real fast. And I didn't do a whole lot about it, and then spring came around, and I was playing, and it was my junior year, and I just thought I was sick or didn't really know what was going on, and sooner or later I just felt awful and really fatigued and went to the doctor, and they took my blood and told me that I needed to go to the hospital and get some blood transfusions, And that led to more tests and more tests. And sooner or later, I learned I had a kidney disease where my my white blood cells were attacking my kidney filters. And that led to my mom actually ended up giving me a kidney in April of 2016.
Wow. So, yeah, the benefit today just kind of helps raise awareness for everyone to pay attention to what's going on with their own kidneys, I assume. And it probably is very special to this team. I mean, you had to be out of the game for a little while with that transplant. You've now gotten back on the field. So what's the whole what's it been like for you having to go from being sick so quickly, having to be out of the game, and then now getting back to it?
Well, honestly, the one thing that kept me strong throughout all of it, of course, my family, close friends, but baseball, you know, getting back to baseball was the big thing. And, you know, just the way my health declined, I was ready to give it up because I thought I would never play it again. I even had doctors tell me I'd never play it again. There was one point, actually, where I was in the hospital. My doctors didn't know if I would even make it due to an infection. And so, you know, declining so fast and then getting a kidney and being healthy as fast as I was, just the hardest thing to getting back on the field was obviously reps and keeping my energy up. So, yeah, it's been a rough road, but it's great to be back.
So when you have an event like this where it's important for everyone to also know beyond just the games that are going on, the reason for the day, did they come and ask you if you wanted to take part in this or come and tell you we're doing this for you, or how did that go down?
Honestly, it was my mom and sister's idea because we just... They were just like, well, why not have a kidney awareness day? And so we talked to Coach about it, and Coach was all about it. And he asked Point Park what they thought about it, and they're green. So, and Kidney Awareness Month is March. And so, you know, that green is the color for kidney awareness. And them being green, us being purple, we got all the guys out here wearing green wristbands or green tape or, you know, whatever they can find that's green. And, you know, it's just, you know, us going to Coach and then him going to the athletic directors, and eventually it got through campus, and it's awesome.
So your coach is Coach Manny Cervantes. We've talked to him a couple of times here on Sports Talk. Was he the one who originally recruited you, or did he come in, you know, partial through your career? You're now a fifth-year senior. What was the deal with the relationship between you two?
He came in, actually, when I was a junior. So his first year was actually the year I got sick. And, you know, it's amazing what he's done for me and my family, because he has been there the entire way. From day one in the hospital, he was there at almost as much as my family was. And it's amazing that he was able to do that while coaching this team and, you know, dealing with his family and his transition from Oklahoma to Kentucky. It's just, I can't thank him and his family enough for what they've done for us.
So let's get on to the actual baseball field. You told me that this year you've played first base and you've been designated hitting as well. Team sitting at 10-17 on the year right now, 3-7 in conference. Dropped two games to Point Park yesterday, but what about this team encourages you as you move forward and you guys try to play your best baseball every single day that you come out?
This team, you know, we're young. We have seven seniors, so we're a young team, but this team is special. This team is a team that, honestly, I've never been a part of a team at Asbury like this, really in my career at all like this. I've played on some talented teams, some really talented teams in my younger years, and, you know, this team, we just all mesh together. You know, we may not win all of our games, but yeah, this team... We're just really a family, and that's what's great about this. If one guy, you know, he messes up, then another guy's going to pick him up and say, hey, man, that's all right. You know, we'll get the next one. And it's just, it's amazing to be a part of a team that really cares about each other.
So this being your fifth year and a senior, I suppose that means that this is the end of the road for you as far as college baseball goes. What are you looking for as this season progresses? You know, still pretty early in the year, but for the rest of what will probably be your final season playing college baseball?
I think that this second half of the season for us, I think we're going to come out and surprise some people. We're finally starting it. It seems like we're putting it together. The young guys are picking up on the seniors, what they're doing, and really putting in the work. And it's just, I think we can go on, go to conference tournament, and hopefully win us a conference championship.
Well, I know that people out there may be hearing this, probably will have missed the games versus Point Park University today, because we'll play this a little bit later on at 5:45. It looks like the next home game would be April 11th versus Cincinnati Christian University at 6 p.m. And just give a little plug for the baseball team, how you all want people to come out in the month of April and beyond to support Asbury.
Oh, yeah, we love people to come out. It looks like it's going to be warm out here from now on, which is great because, you know, the wind blows up here constantly. So when it's cold, the wind makes it that much colder. It's going to be beautiful out here. We're going to play some good baseball, have some good competition, you know. We just love people to come out and support us and, just be behind us.
Well, Landon, we really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us today. Also, very happy to hear that you've had the successful kidney transplant and are back to playing baseball. I want to wish you luck the rest of your career, I guess, this year and for the team this season, and then in anything in the future that you may get involved in.
Thank you.
Well, what a great story that is, man. That young man, just really special story. And not only is his health good, Action Jackson Reams, he's also having a lot of success on the field.
Well, apparently so. You just found out that he's 8 of 16 from the plate today and or this season, and he got a single today. So great news for him. I mean, just an inspiring story. And it was really cool to talk to him, get to hear from him about everything going on over there at Asbury.
Well, most definitely so, man. It's a great school, great athletic program. Check them out and go to find out more about their baseball program and all 17 intercollegiate sports that they offer at AsburyEagles.com. All right, we just got about 45 seconds left. Jackson Reams, what's going to happen tonight? Kentucky, UCLA.
I'm very up in the air. I'm going to go with my heart, though, and I'm going to choose the Wildcats to win that game 85-81.
All right. I actually go 81-78 Cats. So.
But I think Kentucky still loses later this weekend.
Okay. All right. I'm going to predict the Cats going Final Four. For Action Jackson Reams, I'm Greg Horn. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday with the Final Four on Sports Talk.